Welcome back. In this lesson, we're building a transition system in Ableton Live 12 for jungle and old school DNB that hits hard, feels musical, and does not wreck your headroom. Now, this is a big one, because in drum and bass, transitions are not just little decorative moments, they are part of the energy engine of the tune. You're moving between halftime sections, break-led sections, amen edits, sub-drops, rewinds, breakdowns, and those huge re-entries that need to feel like the floor just dropped out from under the track. And the classic mistake is easy to make. You load up the transition with more and more stuff. More risers, more reverbs, more delay throws, more crashes, more noise, more everything. Then suddenly the mix feels smaller, the master starts clamping down, the low end smears, and your drop loses its punch. So today we're doing it the smarter way. We're going to create motion by redistributing energy, not just adding more of it. That means subtraction first. Controlled FX returns, careful drum bus processing, and arrangement moves that make space before the impact. First, let's think about your session structure. In Ableton, group your elements in a way that gives you control. Keep your drums together, your bass together, your music together, and your transition FX in their own lane. That way, when it's time to build tension, you're not reaching for 10 individual clips and trying to fix them one by one. You can shape whole sections at once. That's the first headroom lesson right there. Treat headroom like arrangement currency. Every extra tail, sweep, and fill costs you something. If one transition element already does the job, don't improve it by stacking three more on top. Before you automate anything, set a realistic production headroom target. On the master, while you're building the tune, aim to leave around 6 dB of peak headroom. Keep it conservative. Don't let the clip or the bus touch zero. Use utility on your key groups to control level. Use spectrum to watch the low end, and if you use a limiter, treat it like a safety net, not a creative solution. Here's the rule: if your transition makes the master meter jump wildly, you're not creating excitement, you're overloading the system. Now let's build the drum bus properly, because in jungle and old school DNB the drums are the engine. On the drums group, start with utility to set the overall level. Then use EQA to clean up mud if needed. Be careful with high pass filtering on breaks, because you can thin out that classic jungle character fast if you go too hard. Next, add drum bus with subtle drive. We're talking gentle grit, not destruction. Keep crunch light. Shape the brightness with damp, and only use boom if the track really needs it. Then follow with a glue compressor using a slower attack, so you preserve punch, and aim for just a couple dB of gain reduction on busy sections. Finish with another utility if you need a final trim. The point here is simple. If your drums are balanced and under control before the transition starts, the fill, the mute, and the re-entry can all feel dramatic without pushing the bus into overload. Now for the real secret. Use return tracks instead of stacking giant effects on inserts. Create a short space return with hybrid reverb or reverb. Keep the decay short, maybe under a second, and high pass the return so you don't flood the low end. Use that for snare throws, hat tails, and tiny width moments. Create a delay throw return with echo. Sync it to musical values like an eighth, a quarter, or a dotted feel, and filter the repeats so they stay out of the sub and don't get too bright. This is perfect for last snare echoes, vocal chops, and one-shot fills. Create a noise rise or air return using operator noise or a sample, then filter it with auto filter. Keep it band limited so it lives mostly above the core drum range. You want tension in the air, not a stack blanket covering the whole pre-drop. And if you want a big impact return, build a large space return with hybrid reverb, but use it sparingly. That one is for drop hits, rewind moments, and crash wells. Keep an eye on the level, because a huge impact sample can destroy your headroom fast if you just let it rip. Now let's talk about the most important idea in this lesson: subtraction before addition. A powerful jungle or old school DNB transition often feels huge because it gets briefly smaller and cleaner before the drop. That empty space creates contrast. So before the change, automate away some of the clutter. Pull down the pad, remove a percussion layer, soften the bass top end, reduce constant hats, and clear out low mid fill content. For example, in an 8-bar pre-drop, you might have a full groove in the first 4 bars, then start stripping pieces away in bars 5 and 6. Maybe a percussion layer disappears. Maybe the bass gets slightly filtered. Maybe the music bus comes down by a decibel or two. Then by bar 7, you remove the sub or filter it right down, leaving just the kick, snare, and a top loop. And in bar 8, you give the listener a tiny void, maybe half a bar or even a beat, before the impact lands. That moment of emptiness is what makes the drop feel massive. You're not forcing more energy into the transition. You're clearing the lane so the drop can hit with full confidence. This is also where your filters matter. Use them with intention, not just motion. On bass, auto filter can create a proper build, but don't open the filter so early that the low end arrives before the drop. If the bass suddenly feels louder when the filter opens, compensate with utility gain or reduce send levels a bit. On the breaks, you can gently roll off the top end before a fill, then reopen it on the drop. If the break is very bright, moving the high end from around 12 or 14 kHz down toward 8 or 10 kHz can create tension without ruining the character. Again, watch the master. If the filter opens and the meter spikes, that's your cue to trim the source, not smash the limiter harder. Now let's bring the arrangement into it, because old school jungle lives and dies by edits. Sometimes the most effective transition is not a giant FX stack. It's the break itself doing the work. Try cutting the amen on the last beat before the drop. Try a one-hit kick snare restart. Try slicing the break into 16th note stutters for one bar. Try reversing a snare into the drop. Try using the last two hits of the break as a call and response fill. In Ableton, you can slice the break to a new MIDI track and use simpler in slice mode, or keep it as audio and manually edit it. And if one hit is too loud, use clip gain instead of automating the whole track volume. That's a very useful habit. Use clip gain for local fixes, automation for global movement. That same idea applies to snare throws. In DNB, the snare is often the punctuation mark. Give it a roll. Put EQ, maybe a little saturator, and route it into your delay throw and short space returns. Then automate the send so the last snare of the phrase gets the echo or reverb treatment, while the others stay dry and punchy. A really nice old-school trick is a snare roll with rising velocity, followed by a sudden cut one hit before the drop. That abrupt stop can feel bigger than a long riser, because the ear gets reset right before impact. And then there's the sub. Sub-based is the first thing that goes wrong if you're not careful. During transitions, don't let sub, kick, and reverb all peak together. Keep the sub path simple and mono. Use utility, EQ8, and maybe a little saturation or sidechain compression if needed. You can reduce the sub by a decibel or two in the buildup, or even mute it for a half bar before the drop if the style calls for it. But do it intentionally. A lot of the time, if a transition feels weak, the answer is not to boost the sub. The answer is to clear the mid-range and leave the sub alone until the downbeat. Here's a very usable Ableton move. Build a transition macro rack on your FX group. Map one macro to reverb send, one to delay send, one to filter frequency, one to noise level, one to impact level, and one to group trim. That lets you make the whole transition feel designed instead of random. You can sweep the filter over several bars, bring the noise up only in the last two bars, spike the impact on the drop, and pull the whole thing down a touch right before the final hit. That gives you clean, repeatable control. And in a style like jungle, repeatability matters, because you'll probably build lots of phrase variations across a track. Now let's talk about a great advanced variation, the ghost transition. Instead of getting bigger, it gets smaller and drier. You strip the break down to ghost notes and shell hits. You mute the pads earlier than expected. You leave maybe one tiny delay tail or a hint of room tone. Then the drop comes in with a clean, full-spectrum re-entry. That contrast resets the ear, and makes the drop feel louder without increasing peak level. That's a huge concept in this lesson. Contrast, not constant motion. If everything is always moving, nothing feels special. Old-school jungle often sounds huge because parts appear, vanish, and reappear quickly. That's the vibe. That's the engine. You can also use dual-rate automation, which is a very cool advanced trick. Let one part move slowly, like the music bus or a pad filter over 8 bars, while snare throws and effects stabs move faster in the last 2 bars. That gives the transition a human, DJ-like feel. A little slow motion, a little frantic motion, all in the same phrase. Another very useful idea is the negative build on the drums. Instead of adding density like a typical snare roll, you remove pieces over time. Start with a busy break edit, then remove one layer every 2 bars. Keep only the essential transients, then bring the full break back on the drop. If your bass energy is already strong, this can be way more effective than trying to add excitement with more and more drum layers. And if you really want to make the drop feel violent, try a fake drop, end the riser a bar early, leave a dry hit or tiny crash, give the listener a half bar of sparse groove, and then bring the main drop in slightly later than expected. That brief misdirection can make the real downbeat feel enormous. For dark or heavier DNB, Remember this. Darkness often comes from removal, not just more distortion. Pull out the bright pads early. Keep the top-end effects short. Let the break own the upper mids. Use slight saturation on return tracks so effects are audible without needing to crank their level. And when the drop arrives, make the contrast obvious. Dry, punchy pre-drop, wet transition, then dry and mono again on the drop. That dry-wet-dry journey is one of the most powerful tools you have. Let's wrap this into a practical arrangement mindset. Think like a DJ and a drummer at the same time. Use 8-bar phrase endings, 4-bar tension sections, 2-bar filter opens, 1-bar fills, and a 1-beat gap before the drop. Use break cuts, reverse hits, snare rolls, and silence as part of the rhythm, not as empty space you need to fill.